This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Joy 94.9, you're with Sammy on Transpositions. Yeah, Kurt is not with us tonight, and Kurt gave me a call later, early this afternoon and said, hey, Sammy, can you come and do Transpositions for me today? So I have got some wonderful guests joining us tonight. I have Megan. How about if I turn your microphone on and
try
again?
Well, yeah, thank you, Sammy. That'd be great if you can turn on.
That's cool. I've been in a bit of a rush. I've only been in the studio for a minute. Everyone's seen me rush around. I have the gorgeous and lovely ML with us today.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
And I have Andrea.
Hi.
So we're going to talk about a bunch of things today. So I think the first thing I'd like to talk about is someone is in the room tonight who is gender non-conforming. Mm. ML.
Yes.
Wow, that's words we don't hear very often on Joy.
No, it's actually, today was the first time I ever heard it as well at the World AIDS Conference. I've been having a lot of really interesting conversations with people there, and when I heard gender non-conforming instead of androgynous or in between or anything else.
Gender queer, gender fluid, all those kinds
gender
of things.
Gender fluid I don't like, and gender queer not so really uncomfortable with, but gender non-conforming really sat well with me today, so yeah, I like that.
And you did a really interesting thing on social media today. You published a set of pronouns for us that you'd like us to use.
Yes, I kind of, well, as part of my transition and my journey with all of this, you know, you walk along thinking, okay, what feels right, you know, what name feels right, what reflects how I feel with my gender identity. I went from Mary Lou to Lou to ML with my name, and then with my pronouns, I went from she to he to not quite sure. You can call whatever, call me whatever you like. To today, I said they, them, there, and I said it over and over again. And I said to everybody, it will take a while to get used to, but this is what I feel comfortable with. And I got some really interesting responses from everyone, and the thing that did people's head in the most was the how's that words go? the plurality. I could say before. The plurality of the pronouns that I've chosen. And so for anyone that just couldn't wrap their head around it, I just said, just call me ML. And they're like, cool, thanks.
So you spell it with the letter ML.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's kind of pronounced E-double-M-E-L. So, yeah, M-L. And you'd like us to call you they. And we've had some interesting discussions before we got on air about how difficult that is for us, that we need to think about it. And I was actually practicing, and I did pretty well before, so I'm going to try.
It's actually quite impressive, Sammy.
We'll see how we go over the next hour or so.
I appreciate the effort. It's nice.
You're listening to Joy 94.9, and this is Transpositions. So, ML, I should talk about you as if I'm talking to somebody else. So, just so that I use the word they and them as much in my discussion when I'm talking about you. But it's hard.
You can, or you can just say ML.
And I said to you that if I get it wrong, I'm going to write out they, them, their 100 lines.
Like Bart Simpson.
And just keep doing that.
It's okay. I'm not going to punish you. It's all right. You know, I get it wrong too. And as I was saying earlier in one of our conversations, that it's in the cisgender kind of world, people get these sort of things wrong all the time, and it doesn't seem to matter anywhere near as much. But in the trans world, it's a really big deal. And but we still make mistakes, and you've got to be patient with people, you know. So because you don't just go on these journeys on your own. It's not just your transition. Everybody else has to adjust around you as well.
And I think we're all on a journey, and you're on a journey that's kind of at its, you know, early stages. And
yeah, very early.
And you'll find that things will probably change. You might decide to go from ML to, I don't know, XY or something. Geez.
I hope not. I'm trying to go with what sits right in my heart and what feels the best, you know. And none, all the others really just did that. Some of them felt better along the way sometimes, but never 100%, and this is feeling the best so far.
And I think our responsibility as people who know you and who are your friends is that we just have to take your guidance. You have affirmed that this is what you want to be called and how you'd like us to refer to you, what pronouns, and that's our responsibility to do that.
There's also that side that being gender non-conforming is quite confronting to binary transgender usually. So I have to deal with that as well and be patient with that as well and try not to be too demanding with it, you know. But I can be patient, that's fine. And
I mean, there are no statistics about these sorts of things. We don't know what percentage of the population are gay and lesbian, for example. We've got approximations, and I've seen numbers between like 1 and 10%. We're even less certain about transgender, and we have so many different definitions, and it means so many different things to different people that it's very difficult. There are different social groups and social media support and those sorts of things for people that identify as transgender. And as you say, there's a tendency for it to be rather binary in nature. You're either male to female or female to male, but when you're kind of sort of not conforming to either of those, that puts you into an even smaller minority, possibly.
Yeah.
And that provides you with all sorts of challenges. As you said, some people find it difficult. Even binary trans people can find it difficult to deal with. Yeah. They don't understand it.
It feels confronting, you know. So I always try to be a bit careful because there aren't really groups where there are lots of people the same as me, and I have to be part of groups where it's mainly binary to binary. I tend to try and tread carefully and gently with people, and I have made friends anyway, in spite of my difference and my differences and this, you know, now asking everyone to say they and their and them.
I think that's a really good piece of advice for other people that maybe feel a little bit like you. I think it's more about how the aura that we project onto other people, that maybe accept that other people don't understand us and our journey and where it's up to.
Yeah.
And if we're nice to other people and correct them nicely,
gently, then
that's a good way to go. Joy 94.9, you're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and I am Sammy, standing in for Kurt tonight, who couldn't make it. And tonight I am joined by Andrea, ML, and Megan. Thank you for joining me tonight. We are going to have a bit of a chat about the big thing that's happening in Melbourne this week, which is the AIDS 2014 conference. And if this is the first time you've turned the radio and the television on or read the newspaper, then this isn't going to be the first time you've done that, hopefully, so you know that that's on this week. So there is a contingent that the International Group for Transgender and HIV, IRGT, are running. They have a thing in the Global Village, which is specifically for trans people. And Emma, you've been involved in helping out with volunteering there this week.
Yeah, I was kindly asked to coordinate the volunteers for that space, the trans space at the conference, and it's a bit of a historic moment this year because it's the first time it's the first time ever that we're having a trans presence at a conference like this. So it's very exciting. It's there's a really amazing feeling at the conference there, and especially in our booth, because we're meeting people from all around the world who are scholars and doing all this amazing research on transgender issues and HIV, but trans specific. And it's a really exciting time. The trans community globally is really starting to raise awareness with, I would say, with governments. And all of this research is exciting because it's going to raise more support for the medical side of being trans and depathologizing the transition and things like getting into the hormones and surgery if that's where you want to go with that. And it also it keeps a really important conversation going in in the public so that we get so that the trans community becomes more visible, which is really important. And yeah, it's
I found the atmosphere was just delightful this afternoon. The music was playing, the whole booth was crowded. It was like we were falling out and people were dancing. And there were people from all sorts of nationalities. One of the people I spoke to, one of the other volunteers today, rattled off people from 18 different countries.
Right.
And it just seemed to be a really good networking space for trans people that, you know, there's an interest in HIV, of course, and trans people are hidden, I think, in many cases as far as HIV infection. You know, there's been stuff this week has happened with men who have sex, trans men that have sex with men, for example. There was a session this week where that was discussed. So I think it's good to bring these things together and to bring people together, to bring trans people together in a space like this, in such a massive conference with so many people in attendance.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's really well organised. We have we have workshops going on in our space. It's quite a large space. We have a lounge and we have audio and visual stuff set up so that trans presenters can come in from all over the world and do a talk on whichever area of expertise that they have been researching or being involved in. And that's incredible. So it's not just a presence, it's a force, and that's really encouraging. So,
and I think as we've seen in mainstream media this year and particularly last year, there's like a tipping point. We're seeing good positive stories in mainstream media about trans issues and trans stories, and it's nice to kind of almost sort of, I wouldn't say mainstream, but we're getting recognised and places are being made for us and people are doing research.
Yeah, that important visibility is being raised, and awareness and education, so that, you know, that the trans community is less like a minority and less like something weird, and we're just like everyone else.
I'm proud of being weird. I'm proud of being different from everybody else. But you know,
I
know
what
you mean.
Nothing wrong with being really special, yes.
Yeah, there you go.
I was going to say, yes, Sammy, you are really special.
Thank you. Hey, look, we've had a couple of messages come in. Let me see. Kurt, who would normally be doing the show tonight, has actually sent us a message. And he says, OMG, can we have a sequel with me included? I'm missing out on all the best people. Sounds great. I'm listening. Thanks for tonight, Sammy. You're welcome, Kurt. And thank you for listening and sending us a message. And we've had a message. Can't see who this is from. Hey, Sammy, good to hear you. Yeah, some great things happen on this show, just like tonight. Hi, ML. I'm practicing the singular they. It does take a little bit of thought, but it is easier for me than made-up pronouns. Thanks, everyone, for a great discussion. And that's from Yolanda. Joy 94.9, you're with Sammy here tonight on Transposition, standing in for the delightful and the lovely Kurt. And tonight I have Andrea, ML and Megan with me. Thank you all for joining me tonight on Transpositions at such short notice. Another thing I wanted to talk about tonight was the work that three of us are doing on a new television production called Transmission, which is being done by Bent TV. And that's how I actually met both of you.
Yes.
What do you both do?
Well, I probably think with myself, what I normally do is actually sort of work behind the cameras and those kinds of things. So I actually start to play around with something which I feel quite comfortable with, and shooting you on TV, as well as also ML when she's on TV as well.
When they are on TV, we're going to keep correcting ourselves. It's cool.
So good. I think that Megan's being a bit modest because she's actually really good at what she does, and she's only just started. And when we're there, when we're volunteers, we do everything at Bent, don't we?
You're really thrown into the deep end when you start.
I feel a little bit spoiled because I'm one of the hosts. And so I have to concentrate on hosting the panels and the questions
the
content and those kinds of things. And there's all these fabulous volunteers
that take care of me.
But I feel like I feel a little bit like one of those lousy stars that, you know, rocks in and does what they've got to do and goes home, and Sammy, everybody else has been there
Sammy
for
the
hours.
Rock star.
Everyone else has been there for hours and there's all this work gets done and I'm not really aware of it because my mind's too busy thinking about all this other stuff.
That's good. We're a team.
But it's fantastic. The atmosphere is just delightful.
But it's really good, the message that we're putting out there. You know, and you sort of think about the big picture, what's really important for being transgender and actually really trying to be able to publicise it in such a really good format, such as what we're doing. So it's really important, I believe, the work which we're doing on transmission in order to get the word out for what it means to be transgender and obviously where we fit into the community at a whole. And you know, at the end of the day, we are people who do breathe and eat and sort of love and, you know, we're part
like
of
everyone else.
Yeah, well, just like everyone else.
Mm.
So,
you know, I think that what we're doing is something that's never been done in the world before. We have a group of transgender people doing a television production. We're behind the scenes. We're in front of the cameras. We're not really scripted. We're telling real stories, and we're showing in an amazing amount of diversity, the people and the different sorts of the way that people look, the way they talk about, the way they think, their experiences in life are also vastly different.
And it's like, you know, when you look at the transgender community, it's such a huge and diverse community just within itself. It depends, you know, obviously you could be gender non-conforming, you can classify yourself as being transsexual or whatever. It's such a huge and wide community itself, just, you know, just that little subgroup.
So we're recording 13-part series, and we're going to have three segments per show.
Mm.
And the first one is a one-on-one interview. And then we've got like vox pops and sort of other sorts of things. And then we've got the panels. Then I'm lucky enough to get to do all the panels. And I really like the perspective that we're taking as an educational perspective. It's trying to show diversity through demonstrating that we're all different, but we're trying to be positive and constructive. And I suppose we really want other young trans people and older trans people to actually watch that and get some benefit out of it. But it's been amazing to me how much I look at the smiles in your two faces and
we love it,
you know, and just the collegiate atmosphere while we're doing the shooting sessions.
But it's really good. Like when you go to a shoot, you actually get to talk to people who actually are transgender as well. And it's just the friendships that you actually form by being involved with the show, but also understanding and learning more about when you're actually engaging with other people who are gender variant and how they sort of their own stories themselves. So it's actually, as a part of your own journey, you actually get to learn more from other people as well, just by merely being involved.
Mm.
I got to meet Emil. That has to be a good thing.
well, I've befriended both of you. I'm actually quite, you know, pleased. I've got a couple of awesome new friends in my life. It's been really cool meeting you and the other new people I've met as well. So it's a surprise, not something I expected when I was going to get involved in this series, that was actually going to be one of the outcomes.
Yeah, it's actually quite a good little outcome that we have.
Yeah, no, it's turned out to be a really nice community development kind of thing for us as well. But I agree with you. It's got a really good team spirit thing going on. You know, we get a chance to meet so many different people, and I like that all the different kinds of trans people that are coming in. We seem to be covering lots of different areas of trans. So it's not just, you know, binary.
But binary is the thing that comes to mind for most people. But we have had a large diversity.
It's been great, yeah.
Because when you look at gender, really gender is actually on a continuum. It's not a binary. So, you know, we're seeing different guests who fall in different parts of the actual binary itself.
Mm.
So we are still recording. We've got another three sessions to go, I think. Three, four-hour sessions every couple of weekends.
Keeps us busy.
Ending too soon, I think. It's so much fun doing it.
It is actually a really fun experience of being involved with such an important program.
Yeah, I think that the organisers, Andy and
Gavin,
the producers and directors, they create a really good space for us to do all that kind of the work that we do there and And it's a bit of social, really nice social networking that's face-to-face that's really awesome.
It's like getting away from Facebook.
Yeah, in a really good way. And we're creating something really beautiful together. And as you say, it's a first. And that's an amazing thing too, and a really good feeling.
When we first kicked off, we got quite a number of the different transgender groups, I use that in an umbrella term, in Melbourne to come in and help us workshop the topics that we wanted to do. And I think we had 150 topics that we created during that workshop. Mm. And we're having 39 segments. So there's a lot of stuff that we're actually missing out on. And we've only got 8 minutes to talk about a particular topic. Some things you could, like, talk for hours about.
I know.
So it's very high level, but it's also kind of random and different and unexpected what we're actually coming up with. Mm.
I remember when you had me on a panel. Like, that's a thing that if you work for Bent TV, you end up being on the other side of the camera as well sometimes. And I felt like we could have talked about those things a bit more. But, you know, yeah, you only get a certain amount of time. But that just shows how much fun it is.
It's like you could ramble on for a long time just talking about the stuff that we talk about in such a great environment.
We're all very interested in us.
Narcissistic.
That's a great topic for discussion, the fact that us as trans, we are actually very self-absorbed and self-focused for parts of our journey. And we have to be, because it's really cognitively extreme what we have to go through.
It's part of the journey.
Just thinking about waking up out of bed and doing the things we got to do.
It's quite a major thing that you actually go through with transition. It's huge. And, you know, just the changes that you sort of go through over that period of time, and just wanting to be able to document or at least capture it, or at least it's hard. You know, other people will actually see you physically changing and whatnot, but you seeing yourself change, it happens so slow.
Thank goodness for smartphones and selfies, eh?
Selfies are fun.
And Facebook and tagging.
Yes, and then embarrassing people at the same time.
So the other thing that's going on behind the scenes, again, that I'm not actually see but I'm aware of is happening, is that we have a team of people who are doing the editing and putting all this together. So they're collecting all this information. What did they make us do the other day? Noddies.
Yes.
Noddies.
The noddies.
It's like,
the noddies.
Okay, that's a wrap, but don't move. We would like you to now do some nodding. Noddies. I beg your pardon.
So it's a bit hard to demonstrate on radio. But noddies, if you imagine four people sitting in a row, just nodding their heads at each other.
It's quite funny to watch.
Yes. Pretending they're responding to something that someone's saying and looking really interested and not laughing. Shut up.
But then you have to think about the poor person who has to go and edit the whole thing together.
Yeah, so you've got to be good and just do it. Sometimes it's hard.
So video, TV is a bit different from radio. This is my first experience in dealing with TV. And so with radio, we're just live. You know, we're going live to air. We're making this up as we go along, and you can't see the hand signals that are going on.
Sammy, that's a bit rude, that gesture.
Thank you for that. Oh, dear. I'm going to turn their microphones off now. But I think on television it requires a little bit more editing. So we're not going live, but it feels like we're live when we're actually behind the looking at the cameras. Mm. Mm. And it's the 1st of September is when we're kicking off. Yep. And it's going to be on Channel 31 and Channel 44 and YouTube, which is how I'll be watching it because my television doesn't work. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. We'll still be recording the last couple of sessions before we actually go live. So I think we're all probably going to go and sit down in front of someone's television on that first night to watch the first one.
I think everyone's thinking that's a great idea so far.
I think it's a great idea.
So, yeah, it's been, I must say, from my point of view, it's been a big surprise, and I feel so privileged to be involved with it. It's great.
That's great.
Yeah.
Megan, you're getting kind of get in front of the camera, the other side of the camera,
oh,
do you
God.
Reckon?
I'm scared. We'll see. We'll see what actually happens.
All right. So we're going to talk about some more stuff again shortly. All right. Well, you're listening to Joy 94.9. You're with Sammy tonight on Transpositions, and I'm standing in for Kurt. And another guest that we haven't been able to speak too much tonight is Andrea. Thank you for coming in and talking with us tonight.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So you are intersex.
Yes.
And you identify as trans.
Definitely.
So you have an intersection of these two things. And I didn't mean that in a funny way, but it's like you're a minority in a minority.
Yeah, it's really funny how the gender community is kind of an invisible minority out there at the moment. and then you have a look at all the different variants there are, and then you throw in another one like intersex on top of all that, you really feel very lonely in the world.
So, you know, you and I have talked offline previously about this, is that I've never met face-to-face another intersex person. There's another one that's very familiar in the media that, you know, has been on Joy quite a number of times, but you're the next one that I've actually met. And so it's unusual. And you said to me that there's like stigma and shame and other sorts of things that can be associated with a lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of people think that you've done it to yourself, that you actually changed a particular way, that it's your fault. They don't really see what happened, you know, throughout your whole life, how you existed and how all the changes took place.
I mean, this is something that happens at an embryo stage, isn't it?
Pretty much, basically... some sort of genetic foul up, or sorry, a messed up division of chromosomes.
I like to think of it as an evolution. And you know, trying to think things positive.
I'm a mutant.
Oh no, I didn't say that. No, you're
just
actually
making life more interesting.
Yeah,
nice to be different sometimes.
It's called diversity, I think.
So obviously, you've grown up with a physical, your body being a bit mixed up and a bit different, and having to how that affects you mentally over time as well.
That's really funny. I think I identified more as a girl at a very early stage before I even understood anything about my physical development.
And on your birth certificate, you're identified as male when
male,
you were born.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think most of the changes really started taking place during early puberty. And they were quite devastating at the time, that you start developing breasts, you get a bit more curvy, all the other guys are sort of getting broader shoulders and broad-chested, and you sort of don't really change too much around the chest or the shoulder area, but your hips start getting broader and things sort of become a bit more painful. Your knees start to ache because your knees are starting to change and things, and then one day you realize that you're kind of different because everyone else is staring at you in the change rooms and starting to poke fun at you.
And you had your chest developed, didn't it?
Oh, that was the most scary part, was having boobs at it.
When you're
the
a teenage
age of 13.
You're a teenage supposedly boy.
Yes.
And having to be in the change rooms and those sorts of things.
Ah, it's just terrifying. You could you have people just coming up and grabbing you, and I think the torment was the worst part. You spent most of the time trying to work out a way of getting out of physical education and actually just being in the change room.
And you told me, too, that you had to bind your chest.
Yeah, generally I've been sort of overweight most of my life because it was the easiest way to try and hide myself.
Yeah.
But on quite a few occasions, I actually decided to lose a lot of weight, so I started wearing binders or compression shirts to try and hide things that kind of made me look like I work out a lot. But it was pretty hard to deal with it in the warmer weather, and it's pretty uncomfortable.
And then you went through the whole process of getting married and having children. You have grown up. You're a grandparent, in fact.
Oh, yes.
and now you've actually transitioned.
Yes.
So you're intersex and you're transitioned. So you were socialized as a male, led a lot of years of your life as a male, and then you decided to transition and present and feel as female.
I think I was role-playing most of my life.
I would say that too. So, yeah, I don't. But I think we all associate with that, yeah.
Yeah, just trying to fit in with the rest of the world as best I could. And you get to a point where you just can't deal with it any longer, and just time to be yourself. And life's fantastic now.
I think that's one of the interesting things I noticed in you, as you talk with a smile in your voice. it's something that has actually been a very positive, cathartic, enlightening experience for you, actually deciding to transition.
Oh, look, I'm not sure why it took me so long. It was a very slow start, but the momentum has been incredible over the last few years, and I found myself in a very comfortable place. I find that the world accepts me as a person now, whereas before I had to try and work to be somebody, whoever that was. These days, I just exist as a human being, I've joined the human race. I mean, that's got to be the happiest part of my life.
And your wife is still there and she still supports you. And
she's incredible.
And your children are still there and they still support you.
Yes.
And you're a grandparent.
Oh, that's the best part.
And you look like you're about 28 years old for the people that are listening.
Oh, come on.
No, you do. You look really young.
She's got a great smile on her as well.
Yes. I'm sorry. I'm 56.
Yeah, you totally do not look that
absolutely
age.
Do not look it.
Yeah. Oh, well, see, there's one of the upsides of being intersexed. There's some sort of I'm really not too sure what it is, but we're all supposed to look a little bit younger than we are.
Well, you do.
Like a genetic anomaly.
Yeah.
I was actually going to say I know someone else who's also intersex as well, and she looks much younger than what she is as well, so it's crazy. Right.
It's really amazing. I've only ever met one other intersex person that's transgender, and the whole time that I've been transitioning over the last 5 or 6 years, and I'd really love to meet some others just to talk about how they manage to get through life and how they can, you know, they're actually fitted into the world these days.
Yeah. Well, it's probably, as being a human being, you want to be able to share that experience with someone else, so you've actually got some sort of response, you know, and also you've got some sort of kinship with someone else in the world.
Well, it's pretty lonely being sort of this kind of odd one out. You don't really quite fit in with the transgender community as well as everyone else does. You don't have quite the same issues. You have other issues on top. There's a lot of people don't quite see the difference between intersex and transgender. They're two completely separate things. Being transgender is between my ears. Being intersex is just a physical state. Mm. Okay, fine. Maybe I had a slight head start on everyone else during a transition, but it's been a really tough road to actually survive with that until transition.
Exactly. And look, you know, I look at being quite selfishly, like being trans and sort of not being quite closeted for a long time and not having anyone to talk to about it, then coming out, then actually starting to make a network of contacts and friends and those kinds of things. But with your particular case, being intersex, it's just like there's so few people who actually are intersex, and for you to try and build that network of people that you actually talk to on a one-on-one in-person basis is obviously quite difficult to do.
See, most intersex people, they're quite happy being who they are, you know, how they've been assigned at birth. And, you know, you just don't ever cross paths.
Joy 94.9. Andrea, we're talking about your experience with intersex and how you fit in with other sort of trans community and those sorts of things. And we've all talked a little bit about this offline. ML, you've had similar experiences of there's things about, you know, you that are different, and, you know, you try to fit into places, but you've had people not really get you and understand you. And I've had the same things happen to me as well, and I think of myself as very binary, but I'm also quite different from anybody else that I know, and I do find it difficult to feel like these places are, you know, the perfect place for me to be. And I've actually found myself got a lot more enjoyment out of being involved with things like Joy and the work that we're doing with Bent and my motorbike club, Dykes on Bikes. So I feel much more like they're the things that I get, and they've got nothing to do with being, for me, trans. Being trans, really. They're different. So, Emma, you've had sort of similar feelings sometimes.
I don't know. What I end up trying to do is I just try to get myself out there in the wider trans community and just identify with parts of people's journey. And so I speak to people at the FTM shed, and some of them mentor me, or one of them sort of mentors me through some of the things that I experience in my transition. And we've been pretty busy of late, so I haven't spoken to them for a while, but obviously we bump into each other a lot, and they're really good just to have a quick chat to, even sometimes, you know. And and then with trans women, I can talk about hormones sometimes, because I've got plenty of estrogen. Not that I like it, but
you know, me too. Now, thankfully.
Sorry, and you know, and I even though I'm not conforming to a gender, I still have parts of my body that I don't like as well. So
yeah. I'll take those.
If hey, I look, could give them to you.
I can't believe it, but we have run out of time. Oh. We could probably talk for another couple of hours, I reckon. Do you think the next show would be like me to do that? No, I better not.
I think Kurt's going to be back next time, isn't he?
Yeah, look, I better sign off. Thank you so much for joining me tonight, Andrea, ML, and Megan. And this is Sammy standing in for Kurt. And you've been listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.